Susie Thorpe
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
That's Ahead of the Storm, the Shires. Well, I've got one person here I think is always ahead of the storm. That's Peter Haynes. He is the Cambridge, the Green Badge Guide for Cambridge. Good morning.
Morning, Susie.
Very nice to have you here. Now, I must say, the reason I had you here, I was recommended to get you in by my husband and his colleague, who were given the most fantastic tour of the colleges recently. I think it was about three weeks ago.
Yeah, I remember them.
Oh, and Simon came back and said, you've got to get Peter Haynes in. He's fantastic, absolutely fantastic. So there you go. The glory is in front of you.
Something to live up to.
Yeah. So, Peter, just tell us a bit about the Green Badge guys. Who are they? What do they do? What do you do?
Well, Green Badge Guides, we're first of all members of the National Institute of Tour Guides, and we're focused on Cambridge. So we also belong to the Cambridge Society of Tour Guides, and we just work in the city, and we show visitors around the historical parts of the city, and of course the colleges as well. It's quite a tricky process to become a Green Badge Guide, but once you are one, it's a very enjoyable job.
Actually, that was what I was going to ask you, Eddie. Is it a bit of a, I hate to say this, but is it a bit of a bum fight to get into to be a guide? How long do you have to take to sort of qualify, and how long does it take to actually apply?
Well, lots of people want to do it. So, as you say, the first thing is the application process in writing and so on, and then an interview, quite a tricky interview where you have to try and show your aptitude. They give you a few tasks to do and so on. But then once you're accepted, you have to pay a lot of money to do it, because it's a course like any other course in Cambridge. Then every Tuesday evening for a year, you have a lecture on some aspect of Cambridge life. It might be religious houses, monasteries, or whatever it is. And you, each evening, on a Tuesday evening, you have some practice in public speaking as well. But Saturday morning's the big thing, every Saturday morning for a year in term time. So you're doing practicals, first of all, listening to your tutors, and then trying it out in small groups and until they're ready to unleash you. But at the end of that year, you've then got five exams. And you've got to get, I think you've got to average 70 in the exams, 70%. So quite challenging.
When you say aptitude, you definitely really did have the aptitude to this, because you were just talking about your previous experience. Now, you were head teacher.
Yes.
And you also started off a school as well. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, I've been teaching in Cambridgeshire for 36 years, I think, but I was head teacher at Bottisham for 8 years, Bottisham Village College, fantastic school, and that was a brilliant job. And then I was extremely fortunate. I got the opportunity that all teachers would love, I think, to set up a brand new school in Peterborough. There was just me and a building site, so I had to appoint all the teachers, get the uniforms in, get the furniture
in. Was that easy to do? Was that easy to start off? It's never easy. I know that. But actually, the whole point of putting another school in, was that hard to get through at the beginning?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, when you think of all the things you've got to do, you've got to choose the first team of teachers, and then you've got to recruit the first cohort of children, because there's no point having the school unless you can persuade the local people that they should all come there.
And the council as well, persuading them that actually a school was needed.
They were happy. They knew that the numbers of children in Peterborough necessitated a new school, but trying to get it all up and running and deal with leaks in the library roof at the same time as, children being naughty or whatever. It's quite a lot to do with a small team.
You came with when you applied for the Green Badge Guide, you came with a huge amount of experience. So the actual training, was that a new entity for you? Did you find that, obviously you were speaking as a head teacher in front of many, many teachers and obviously mainly school children.
Yeah.
But then you were retrained to do this. Did you think that was a very different ball game?
Well, there were about 45 of us who trained together, and a small number of us were teachers already. So I think when they were doing the sessions on how to project your voice or how to control a group of people or how to keep people safe in the streets or whatever it was, that was meat and drink to us. We were familiar with that, really. But it's all the information you have to know about Cambridge. That's the challenge, in-depth information. And I've never taught history, but there's a lot of history that you need to know about the Tudors and the Romans and the Saxons and the Vikings and so on. So a lot of fresh ground to cover,
Talk about the groups that you've come in. I mean, I read somewhere that when you go on one of these tours, a lot of people actually know what's going on, but like a tour anyway to be taken around. Do you find that you have to sort of curb your anger a little bit and just sort of and be very pleasurable?
You certainly have to be very pleasant. And part of the training is how to cope with all sorts of issues that you might have from a group. There's the person who asks lots and lots of questions.
Oh, there's always one of those, isn't there?
sometimes because they're really interested, or sometimes to demonstrate how clever they are. The other tricky thing is when people ask you, they collar you as you're walking from one spot to the next, and they want to dominate you for those 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, you know? Which is a bit time-consuming, because you've got a job, haven't you?
Well, it's not that, but it's the fact that everybody else at the back thinks that they are getting a better deal. So when you get to the next spot, you have to say, Tim here was just asking me X, Y, and Z, and tell them all of that information as well.
That's a good point, isn't it?
So they don't lose out. You know.
Yeah, you have to make it quite collegiate, don't you, and get them all in.
Yeah. I had a tour on Monday, and there was a little girl called Grace, an Australian girl who is 9 years old, and I'm serious when I say she knew virtually everything that I was telling them.
And that's fantastic.
We would get to the statue of Henry VIII, and she would just suddenly spout forth about, of course, he separated the English church from the Church of Rome because the Pope wouldn't give him a divorce on his first wife. And off she went, you know. She knew so much. It was brilliant.
That is fantastic. Well, her parents with her, obviously.
Yeah, they kept saying, how do you know this stuff, Grace? You know, they were amazed. I offered her my badge in the end, actually.
So Green Badge protege.
Yeah,
the next
one. She really was. Yeah, very clever.
Now, I did ask you if you take certain, if you don't take certain groups. Mm. Hen parties, stag parties?
No hen parties so far. I mean, the hen parties go on the punt trips. I've seen them do that. But I think because they're sitting down, they have more opportunity for Prosecco and so on, which you wouldn't get if you were walking around with me. But I've had office parties. In the summer, I had an office party from a local firm of solicitors who should remain unnamed. And they had a very good time. I think they wanted the plan to include 3 pubs, which we can do. There are some very historic pubs in Cambridge.
Excellent. I like your way, Peter. That's brilliant.
Bespoke, that's the word, you see.
Now, the Green Badge guys, they have more access than some of the others. Can you explain the difference between what you do and the access you have as opposed to just finding somebody on the street as opposed to booking? Because you have to book yours online, don't you?
Normally you would book online, or you could go into the visitor centre at the tourist office at the Guildhall. Because we are fully qualified, I think that the masters at the Cambridge colleges expect that we will give a fair and accurate account of their colleges. So we're allowed in. And I think that the thing sometimes people don't appreciate if they do book a tour on the street, because the advertising materials usually say, oh, this will include King's College, Trinity College and so on. But what they mean is standing outside and looking at the walls and the door. And I don't want to belittle those guides, because I think they know a lot of stuff. And I think they give a good experience, but they certainly don't take you in, which we can. It's fantastic to go in there, and we build up a good rapport with the porters and so on. And we get a very good experience in those places.
And as you say, you have to do your homework, don't you? Which is quite hard. Well, you have to do it. You have to keep on top, because every tour is very different. Obviously, the different people, the different dynamics of the people that you're taking around to office parties, or just a group of people that don't even know each other. That's the thing. Yeah. You've got to sort of get them all together.
True. Well, keeping on top of things, we have in-service training once a month. So, for example, a few weeks ago we had a talk. I don't know if you know the story about the students who put a car on the roof of the Senate House in the 1950s.
Yes,
so
I do.
So, engineering students. Well, we talk about that, but a few weeks ago we had an old gentleman of about 80 years old who was one of the guys who did it.
Oh, wow.
And so we have a lecture once a month. Plus, I do the tours in French. And so we have about once a fortnight, we have a group of French guides that get together and we go around and sort of retrain each other speaking in French the whole time. And that's really helpful as well.
What a fantastic thing to do. You're making me very interested, I have to say. What a lovely thing.
Yeah.
And you were talking, as you arrived here today, you were talking about some things that you knew locally around here outside the studio. Tell us what you know about this little building behind it. You called it the County Wardrobe.
Yes, well, when I was teaching, for example, at Comberton, I was the head of drama and we used to do a lot of school plays back in the 1980s and 1990s and so on. And there was a wonderful resource just over the road from where you are here called the County Wardrobe. And you went up there and it was a big sort of warehouse building that opened up, enormous, and it was packed with costumes, top hats, bowler hats, Peter Pan outfits, fairy outfits, you name it. You could get anything up there, really. And local drama groups from all over the county could use it. It was a resource run by the county council. And all of the schools in the county could go there to kit out. You'd just go along and say, I'm doing Oliver. And the two ladies that worked in there would lead you over to the, oh, well, this is the urchin section, you know. And you just sign out 25 urchin costumes and whatever you needed. You had to pay a little bit towards the upkeep, but it's a sad loss, really, that I think that's gone now. It hasn't been there for quite a while.
There's nothing else like it around Cambridge then?
There are lots of places where you can hire costumes commercially, and some of the drama groups have started a sort of self-help thing where, you know, I mean, very recently the drama group I'm involved in did Oliver, and a group from Ely came and watched and said, can we have your coffin? you know, the coffin that Oliver has to escape out of the back of, so it's a hinged side. And so that was used in... So we share costumes around a little bit, you know.
Peter, you're full of knowledge. It's fantastic to speak to you today. Thank you very much for coming in. I hope you have lots of, well, I'm sure you're having lots of wonderful tours. It doesn't die down, does it, really? It just keeps going, all the tours.
All year round. I mean, currently at the tourist office, there are 12 different tours on offer. So, for example, Halloween tour coming up. And there's a new one at the Museum of Cambridge, if you know, next to Kettle's Yard.
Yes.
So on a Sunday, you can do a tour of Cambridge, ending up at the museum.
Right.
And all the profits from that go into the Museum of Cambridge.
And does it get seasonal, these guys? Do you sort of try and put some seasonal things into it each time? Halloween,
Yeah, there are things like that. But we also fit in with all of the festivals, like the Science Festival, the Festival Ideas, Open Cambridge. So recently, Green Badge guys, including me, we offered 17 tours for Open Cambridge, all free. We weren't paid, but people in the city, local people, could come along and see inside the library or the Fitzwilliam or whatever it is and see the whole thing for nothing. It was
what an amazing opportunity. Isn't that fantastic?
Very good.
To be able to do that. Peter Haynes, thank you so much for coming in today, and I wish you all the best for the next few tours.
Thanks, Susie.
And years.
Thank you very much, Susie.